one of the world's greatest natural wonders is currently underway. I'm talking about the synchronized spawning of coral on the Great Barrier Reef. Dr. Jen Matthews has been watching the event up close. She's a chemical ecologist and marine biochemist at the University of Technology, Sydney. Jen, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
You've been in the water during these events. Can you tell me what it's like to be down there as this mass spawning is happening?
Oh, it's just incredible. One of the most spectacular events. So when we go diving, often it's after sunset on the night of the spawning, and everything will be quiet. It will be really dark. And then all of a sudden, all of these corals just start releasing these tiny pink balls into the water, and they float up to the surface. So it's almost like it's snowing in reverse. And the water just gets filled with all these tiny eggs and sperm. And it's just incredible. And then about 30 minutes later, it all stops. So it's this fleeting, spectacular moment in nature.
It's really amazing that it happens around the same time every year on the Great Barrier Reef. Can you tell me about the triggers and what's actually happening when this spawning happens?
Yeah, so the mass spawning on the Great Barrier Reef occurs a few days after full moon, 4 or 5 days after full moon, around October, November, December time, kind of like late spring, early summer. So that will be what it is like on the Great Barrier Reef, and it's linked to the tides and the lunar cycle and the temperature of the water. But it's very different to, say, Ningaloo, which has its spawning event in April, March time. So these corals have somehow that managed to evolve to a specific temperature, tidal and lunar cycle to make sure that they're all concerted in their mass spawning efforts. So for us on the Great Barrier Reef, that's when we kind of go up there, is around this time of year, but it's different for different parts of the world.
And explain for me biologically what's happening. This is a reproductive process for coral.
Yeah, that's right. Well, corals are essentially like animals on a rock, and they don't have the capacity to hitch up and move to find a mate. So they've developed a different mechanism of reproduction, and they have a few different ways. So they can reproduce asexually. They can bud off little clones of themselves. But this mass spawning event is really important because it increases the genetic diversity on the reef, because it allows the mixing of sperm and eggs from different colonies from across reefs and across entire areas of reefs as well. So not just between corals within one reef, but across the whole Great Barrier Reef, which is fantastic when we're hoping that corals can adapt to changing climates. So they release these eggs and sperm into the water and they float on the surface for a few days, mixing to form little swimming larvae. And because they are basically little balls of fat, that's why they float. And then over the next few days, as they consume those fats, they start to sink and swim and then find somewhere themselves to call home.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where marine biochemist Dr. Jen Matthews is our guest as we talk about the annual mass spawning event that's happening on the Great Barrier Reef right now. Look, when we talk about the Great Barrier Reef, we know that it has been in something of a fragile state for some time. We've seen mass bleaching events. We're seeing record high temperatures. Can you tell me about the work that researchers like yourself are doing to try and help the young coral survive against these challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we get mass spawning like this, it's a great sign that there are healthy corals on the reefs, because it means that they're healthy enough to reproduce and they have enough energy to make the eggs and sperm and to reproduce. I mean, be under no assumption that that means the whole reef is healthy and the reef in general and the wider scale is healthy. There's certainly a lot of evidence of dead corals and reduced reproduction rates. And so with that, what we see is when corals release, they could release millions of tiny little eggs, but actually a really small proportion of that survives through to adulthood. And that's a critical bottleneck when we're thinking about restoring degraded reefs and connectivity between reefs as well. And so we thought, well, if it's because maybe they don't have enough energy, it's quite a high energy process to go from a little egg into a newly formed coral, including finding somewhere to call home. So we thought, well, maybe they just don't have enough energy. Just like you and I, we need energy to do life, and so do they. And so we thought, well, what if we could give them food when they're babies? And so we've been feeding them with little balls of fat, little fat particles, essentially a coral baby food. And we've found that we can actually double their survival and also their resilience to heat stress if we do that.
Amazing. Talking about feeding little baby corals, it's kind of boggles the mind a little bit, but it's clearly work that is going to help. Can you give me a sense of your levels of optimism about the reef's ability to withstand all of these challenges and deal with climate change and its effects? You work so closely in this space. Are you optimistic?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I am an ocean optimist. I do see these spawning events as a great sign that there are healthy corals on the reef, but and there's sharks on the reef, which is another really good indicator that there's, you know, the healthy functioning reef ecosystems. But this is our second year of bleaching that we've just had in a row, and the water temperatures are already warmer than they are normally this time of year, so it spells trouble for this year coming that we may see another bleaching event. And so these reproduction kind of mass spawning events might get fewer and fewer. And we will still have reefs in 50 years' time, but they might look entirely different to what we have now. They would likely have less structural diversity and therefore less space for fish to live. And our coral reefs in Australia, they have such immense ecological, economic and cultural value. And so any kind of significant degradation would be a massive loss for us.
Dr. Jen Matthews, really appreciate you joining me on Radio National Breakfast this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Matthews is a marine biochemist at the University of Technology, Sydney.